welcome to episode 173 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Laura, Sandy, Donna, and Lindsay. And we also have our very special guest here that we'd love to have come visit us, Heidi. Yay! Let's see. Remember as a kid when Christmas was magical, surprising, and fun? Yep, so do we. Before crowded malls and wrapping gifts and homemade artisan cookies and all the work that sucks the fun out of being holly and jolly. I could have written these show notes. It's so bitter. Festive markets are the highlight of mainland Europe's winter calendar. With roots in religion and tradition, the markets are perfect antidotes for anyone fed up with the commercialism and retail frenzy that is now so prevalent in the United States. How to see these markets? On a river cruise at your leisure. Would you like to join us? We're offering a group cruise on Christmas Markets on the Rhine, which is a 7-night cruise on Amma waterways, leaving December 3rd of this year, 2018, from Basel, Switzerland, sailing to Amsterdam, the Netherlands. The itinerary includes world-class cities such as Amsterdam, Cologne, and Basel, as well as picturesque small towns in France and Germany, visiting 4 countries in 1 week. So get your ho, ho, ho on and listen to why a river cruise might be the best way ever to visit European Christmas markets. All right, so let's get started. Okay, so let's review when the cruise is and why are we going like 3 weeks before Christmas to the Christmas markets?
Because the markets start usually 4 weeks before Christmas, or it's usually, I think, the last weekend in November. So that's really prime time. I didn't want to go later in December because there is all that ho, 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 jolly stuff that we do have to do eventually.
Mm-hmm. We can't escape it.
We can't totally escape it. So I figured it would be, and I didn't want to go in the very beginning either because it may not feel as Christmassy. It's too close to Thanksgiving. So December 3rd seemed like a good compromise. Plus the sailing that you helped choose. We're going, what's the expression? Downriver?
So yes.
We're not going against the current.
Right.
And
which is weird because Amsterdam is north and that
right.
defies all
you're going
logic.
North, but you're going down. So that's kind of good because you don't get as much, I guess, engine vibration. It can be a quieter and maybe even a little bit of a quicker for some ports.
It also, to me, it's just a better route, but we can talk about that a little bit. Well, I have a question though, because you've done the Christmas markets before.
Yep.
So do you know if like going earlier in the markets, not just from a, you know, we have stuff to do back home, so we need to get home, mm-hmm. but is there a disadvantage to going early or late, or is it pretty much consistent? Like the markets are pretty consistent at the end of the markets, they start running out of stuff. I mean, like what is
at the end of the markets? I think that the people that work in the markets are a little burned out.
Mm-hmm.
Other than at the very end, no, I don't think there's a huge difference.
Okay.
No, I don't.
So really you could go anytime. It's just then picking the right.
But some markets are only open on weekends. The ones on the cruise, I don't think those are affected, but in smaller towns, if you don't do a cruise, then some of them are only open on weekends. So you do have to factor that in for some things. Like these small towns, I'm not really sure what their schedules are.
Yeah.
I don't know if they start on time. Do they start? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I will say Amma, this is a Christmas markets cruise. Mm-hmm. Amma, you know, it's not just because we're going on it. That's the whole point of the cruise is to really enjoy. So they make sure that these markets are open and, you know, and ready and all of that.
So I know I see people sometimes on TripAdvisor that aren't doing a cruise and they'll be saying, I'm so excited. We're going the 17th of November and I can't wait to see all the markets. And then somebody tells them, You're gonna miss them by about a week.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. So we've talked about this before, but we probably should revisit it because not everybody has listened to every episode. Although they should. And we can put in the show notes some of the previous episodes we've done both on Amma and on Christmas markets. But what are the Christmas markets really? Is it like going to Toys R Us and pulling teddy bears off the shelf?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's right.
they hold you up in the gateway and then you all have to storm it at once.
Storm, it's like Black Friday. No, it is. They are festive markets. So, I try to explain it to people. It kind of fails. I kind of have problems explaining it because it's so different. Sometimes I think it's like telling people it's like going to a fair here, but it's not at all. They have two different personalities, one during the day when things are being sold And then at night when locals come out and everybody's just kind of socializing and drinking and shopping, they consist of anywhere from 50 to 200 booths. And they're all the booths are really cute. They look like little lodges most of the time. And they're decorated with Christmas, you know, like evergreens. And they sell anything from Christmas ornaments, scarves, hats, decorative things, locally handmade. Most of the markets you're not going to find junk from China. Some maybe, but...
What did we see? There was one where they had like, no, maybe it wasn't a Christmas
melty cheese.
No, you talked about it. It was, they had like some American food.
Oh, that was a Nürnberg. They had the stall that had the Twinkies and
yeah.
Yeah, they had the American stall.
So then is the point to buy gifts or is the point to buy things to make your house more Christmassy?
Yes. Both.
Both. Okay.
Both. Or to not even shop at all. And
to
just
drink.
Eat and drink, right?
Like a big outdoor pub.
Like the gooey cheese.
That's the perfect way to describe it. That's exactly what it is.
See myself eating my entire way through.
Yeah.
It's very easy to do that.
Yeah. Well, Donna, you just went too, didn't you? Weren't you in Switzerland?
Montreux.
How would you describe it? What a Christmas market is.
It was a lot like a large, like citywide festival. So it wasn't. There was 200 or 300 booths, and it took up about 5 or 6 blocks all along the Lake Geneva, and there were food booths, and there were things where you could just eat right there, but there were also food stuff, so you could get cheeses and dried meats and things like that. So there were little booths for that, but there were also a lot of booths with lotions and jewelry and scarves and things like that. So it was very much like a vendor fair, like we think of, but they were in these little huts, permanent looking huts, so it wasn't just a table sitting on the side of the road. It was a full structure, like the old Fox photo baths.
Yeah,
and some of the ones that sell the wine and the beer, they have chairs and they have tables and they have fires going, so that you can sit inside, sit inside and just kind of hang out. It's like an outdoor bar, sort of.
Not to make the comparison.
And we're participating too. They basically had special, like, fixed price menus where you could get little appetizers or things as well. So
yeah, I think the easiest way to picture it is like the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. And I hate to do that, but I think that they actually model it after that idea of we're going to put around these stalls, and in some places we might have benches or whatever where you can sit down. Like they'll put in a beer garden or something like that. And then others are just, you know, pick up food or goods, you know, depending on which festival it is, but kitchen gadgets or whatever. So,
I think cities will have like outdoor festivals, you know, in the United States, big outdoor festivals with beer gardens and, and food and crafts. So to me, it sounds like that, but with a cold Christmas theme, a little bit upgraded.
Well, yeah, it's upgraded too because the huts are not tents. Like here, we tend to set up tents or tables, and they're these like actual structures.
The huts are pretty.
Yeah.
And they all follow the same theme. So, like in Nuremberg, they're all covered with like red and white stripes. In other places, they're covered, I think it was Basel, it's covered completely with evergreens. So it looks very foresty. And there's also entertainment at a lot of these. So you'll have choirs, you'll have human Christmas trees.
Human Christmas trees.
Yeah. Like, like a pyramid, like where people form the base and there's they're not on each other's shoulders. There's a structure
like
behind
a cheerleader thing?
No, it's like a structure.
Like standing on risers. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. But you can't see the risers, so yeah.
A singing Christmas tree.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that before, but I can picture it now. I have a Christmas party in Pittsburgh too.
I was supposed to go
in November. I didn't end up going up there.
Do they call it a European market? Because I do see that.
They actually do. Yeah, it's down right downtown at PPG Place, which if you ever see like the cityscape, it's the kind of mirrored buildings with the spiky things on top. So in that square, that's where they do the ice skating and stuff, and then right around there they have.
That's probably actually very...
Yeah, that's like, well, for a city too, because it's got a big German...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
so,
Polish as
yeah.
well, right?
Yeah, yeah totally.
Yeah.
And some of these cities too have multiple markets. So like Cologne has more than one market. Basel has more than one. Munich had, I think, 8. Oh, wow. And there was one that was themed for children, and then there was different, you know.
And there were those nightmare-inducing. What was that? The Krampus?
The Krampus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's in any alpine areas in Germany and Austria. Yeah.
So cool.
6th of December and on the 21st.
Oh, so actually we're timing okay.
But we're not going alpine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So.
Be careful, though, because there are some, like, high holidays of the Catholic Church that the market's closed on that day.
Oh.
Because I just happened to had clients who were in Rome, and that was going to be their final thing, and it was a high holy day, and all the Christmas markets were closed.
In Rome?
Uh-huh.
Might not be everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's everywhere, because the other places are kind of Lutheran-y.
They're just too close to the boss there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think in the backyard. As a good Catholic, I should know what days those are. But,
That's a good tip, though, for sure.
Yeah.
So you've done the Christmas market several times.
Yep.
On your own.
Yep.
And this time you're going to do a river cruise.
I'm so excited.
Why? Why is it so much? Why are you thinking this will be a better way? Or are you thinking this will be a better way?
I'm thinking it's going to be totally different. I mean, usually we do it ourselves, and we're very independent people, and which is great. But, you know, there comes a point in a longer trip where it becomes like a forced march sometimes. And you just want somebody to do something for you. And that somebody is me, so it's not going to get done. you know, so I think it's going to be wonderful to be able to check in and have this boat move me to different places.
Yeah.
And wake up in the morning, step off, either go on an excursion or step right into the town. That truly appeals to me. Plus, it seems kind of luxurious too. I mean, it seems like this is a nice cruise line.
The food looks really
good, and the accommodations look really comfortable, and it just looks like a really cool kind of social adventure.
Do you have any idea how long you'll be in port? Do you know
I think it varies from what I've researched. It depends on some places. So, like Strasbourg, you're there overnight because they know a lot of people want to go technically into France and eat and party. Amsterdam, you're overnight. Basel, you're overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, not exactly overnight. You leave at 4 o'clock in the morning, but
well, that's fine.
Yeah. So I guess it depends on when your night ends as to what you think. And there were people on my cruise who, you know, would push the limits as to there were some younger party animals that dragged me out in Amsterdam last night. Probably
about. Oh, I remember that.
Fun. It was really fun, but it was way too late.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, it was way too late. So, but yeah, it does vary. And, but usually they try to keep you there late enough that you can go back out after dinner if you come back for dinner. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to eat dinner on the ship. We always did just because we felt like we should. But there were times we regretted that, like the one time the Christmas market was open and then we didn't realize
and you that. Didn't really, they close at 8.
Yeah, they close at 8. Yeah.
Most of them do.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think most of them, you're there well into the evening, and the places that you aren't in for very long, it's because you're going to like the next town up. So you're going to be back on the water for like an hour. And then, so in theory, you could hang out there longer and then just meet the boat, just take a taxi or whatever.
I'm not concerned with, these are not to me heavy itinerary, heavy sit places we're going. It's not like we're going to Amsterdam or Paris for a long time where there's all these museums I want to hit. A lot of these are small towns and, you know, there may be a couple things to see, but I don't think there's a huge giant where I'll be like, oh my God, I didn't have enough time to see what I see.
Yeah. So. Well, and that's one thing that I love about this route is that it begins and ends in a rather large city. So it's really easy to extend your trip on either side and get your city time.
Yeah.
And then on the cruise, you don't feel like you're really missing anything. There are other cruises. I mean, most cruises either start or end in a big city, but they may then start or end in a smaller city, at the other side. So, you know, Budapest to Linz or, you know, whatever, depending on the river. So, you know, I've had clients doing that Budapest to Linz thing and they're like, is there an airport in Linz? And there is one.
There is one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's actually an international airport, but you're not going to get straight to JFK from there. So.
Yeah. Kind of like Boston.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Amsterdam is a really good place to end, though. I think it feels right to me, and it's going to be really easy for us to get on a train.
Are you going home after that, or are you doing something?
No, we're going to Berlin, and I'm super excited. We're going to Berlin, and then we're going on to Prague.
Oh, awesome.
So it's 6 hours to Berlin,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to stay 2 nights, and then we're going to 4 hours on Prague and fly home from Prague. Awesome. So,
but you, when you say we, you're just talking about your husband and yourself, not the whole group.
Oh, no, that's right, not the whole group. Right. Yeah. Like his sister and her friend are coming with us.
Yeah, okay. So, and that's something that's important to know. And, you know, we should probably talk about, you know, if you do want to book into this group, the only part of the trip that is sort of already set for you is the cruise. Mm-hmm. So you can actually extend on either side or whatever, and we can help you with that. You can do it on your own, however you want to do it. And I know, you know, several people are doing that in one way or another. And that's very typical. Most people do not just, you know, come and go for their cruise. They,
well, at the very least, you should probably get there the day before your cruise and not like flying that morning.
Yeah. We're going to get there on the cruise leaves on a Monday. And so we're flying on a Friday night.
Okay.
We get there Saturday morning and then we'll go to directly on a train to Lucerne for 2 nights and then go up to Basel on the train the day of the cruise.
That's, and we went to London first, spent 2 nights in London and then flew to Basel that morning. And it was sort of, it's sort of that it's hard to get to Basel for an affordable rate. Most people actually fly into Zurich for this and then take the train or transfer. I mean, all the river cruise companies that go out of Basel offer you a transfer from Zurich if you use their air. So it's a very typical, you know, even they suggest going to Zurich. It's easier for them to have air contracts into Zurich. Yeah. So, which is actually a bigger city than Basel.
Switzerland's really easy to get around.
So what are some of the other excursions that are going to be like?
So there's a couple I'm actually sort of excited about. There's one that goes to a winery. Did you do that one?
We did. Well, the one I was on was actually a wine cruise. Oh. So they upped the wine excursions.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Which one was it? Do you remember which city it's in?
Oh, I don't know. Ruchheim, maybe?
Ruchheim. We actually just did a little coffee. We were went to Ruchheim kind of late in the game, but there was the option to go up for... We actually wanted a really easy day, so we went and got the, like... liquor coffee that they make.
Right.
And then we wandered around a little bit. It was raining. And then
there's one that has a gondola and there's the option of like a gondola and, or you're going for the wine tasting sometimes. I'm excited to do the wine tasting because I love those. Let's see what else. I'm actually excited to do some things on my own. From Strasbourg in the afternoon, I'd like to take the train back to Colmar on my own because I really liked Colmar last time we were there. It's beautiful. Let's see what else. I'm really interested in World War II history, so I'm hoping for a good tour of Cologne.
Mm-hmm.
And a good tour in Amsterdam.
Yeah, the Cologne tour that we did was just a foot tour that took you around some of the major sites.
Like the cathedral, but not,
like definitely the cathedral, watch your purse. And then we went through the perfume district because, you know, Cologne is, that name comes honestly. So you go through that area. And there's actually a whole lot of digging going on because they were, as happens in most European towns, they started building something. And as they're digging the foundation, they're like, oh, look, Roman baths or whatever happens to be down there.
Right.
So all this stuff was torn up near the city hall as well. So we sort of had to stumble around that a little bit. But the cathedral is amazing. And definitely worth seeing. And this is as somebody who has seen many, many churches and on many, many tours. And, but it is truly beautiful. But the Christmas market there is not a very far walk from the ship. So it was really easy to go back
and
forth.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm also actually sort of excited about some of the things that I've heard people say about what's going on the ship. That there's one, sometimes they do like a strudel making thing where they show you how to make strudel. You know, they do various, like a beer and pretzel. And they do like these little things that are sort of social. I'm not really a social person at all, but for this, it seems somehow it seems right.
Well, I know have people you know with you.
Yeah, I know people I know, but even just being social and knowing I can just go back to my cabin if I don't want to be social, but then there's other people that I can be social with other than my husband.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that is always nice. Yeah, and we didn't get to do any of those special things because everything was replaced by wine tastings.
Yeah.
So we had a wine tasting. We had a wine expert on board who actually is like the former president of Carnival Corporation, and Carnival is in no way related to AMA, but it's an industry. You know, they know each other. And so now that he's retired, he's become a wine expert. So he led all these, and you know, we come down at 9:30 in the morning and they're having a wine tasting. I'm like, dang, this is hardcore. Give me some of that. We didn't really do much of the other things that they normally would do because they were all replaced by the wine tasting. But that was fun for sure.
I'm excited because I've only been on one cruise and it was a mass market Royal Caribbean cruise. My husband was scarred by it because he didn't know what to expect, and it's very crowded. It was very, very crowded. It's a big ship. It was the Oasis of the Seas.
Oh, God, this is so different.
He keeps asking me questions like, is there going to be a place for me to sit? Is there going to be a place for me to eat? Because, I mean, it was really crowded when we were on that ship. And so I keep trying to reassure him, like, this is a whole different animal.
Yeah.
Like, this is a luxury line. Yes, there will be a place for you to sit.
Yeah.
And a place for you to relax. And
don't they do a chef's dinner?
They do. They have it sounds like they have a chef's table. Did you do the chef's table?
Yeah, we did. You make reservations when you get on board. You can't make reservations ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And in theory, there's enough room that everybody on the ship can rotate through at once. But you do need to choose carefully when you go. And I actually think, I don't know how it, we ended up sitting with two of the, there was just a few people who were there traveling alone, solo. And two of them were sitting at our table. So I don't know if they, like, manipulate things, if it's possible that as they're taking reservations, if they realize they've only got, like, one seat left or whatever, they try to move people around. But we, by the time we signed up, because we're slow, I'm my own worst travel agent, there was only one night left to go. And but we were able to go. It wasn't a big problem. And it was a good chef's table experience. It wasn't as involved as some chef tables I've been to, but at the same time, I kind of liked that because it was as if they didn't feel the need to impress me. It was more just, we're going to have a great meal together. And, you know, some of it was a little fancy and some of it wasn't so much, but it was really more just about experiencing food and not so much about showing off. And sometimes the chef's tables are like, this is the best I can do. And I'm going to, you know, take this mushroom and I'm going to turn it into a tree. And you're going to be so impressed by it. Yeah, exactly. And it's going to smoke. And, you know, and although that's super cool and I certainly love it when it happens, it was kind of nice to just sort of have a laid back kind of, you know, and as AMA moves forward with their shipbuilding, one of the things that they are going to start doing, the one thing that I didn't like about it is the kitchen is actually enclosed. It's glass. But in a lot of chef's tables, the chefs are actually out in like an open kitchen,
right,
which is harder to do on a ship for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. So the architect for AMA has found a way, he thinks, to make it safe to do. And so that's the plan, is that area is going to have an open kitchen on future builds. So the big ship that they're building, the AMA Magna, I was going to say AMA Magma, which is a totally different thing. AMA Magna with an N. It's a double-sized ship.
Double width. That's yeah. Just listening.
He jokes about calling it the double wide, and everybody in marketing goes, don't do that! Don't do that. But it'll only be able to go on the Danube because of the size. So, yeah. But he was telling us that he thinks that he'll be able to put the open kitchens on more. He sort of figured out a way to do it, so.
And they're offering a cocktail hour that's new this year that I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. And the ship is new.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the best of both worlds. I feel like we're going in the right direction to the right cities with a new ship on the dates that I thought would be most conducive for people to not feel stressed out over the Christmas season. But Thanksgiving has passed.
Yeah.
So people are like...
First week of December is good. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of birthdays and stuff in my house, so it is hard to get away in December. But
December's a
tough
month.
The best time, the first week. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because if you push it any later, too, if you're going to do any traveling afterwards, then you're right up to...
You got to just say, forget everybody. Yeah. We're going to be gone for Christmas.
Yeah, which is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
It's like you had a good travel agent.
I know. It really is.
Well.
Yeah, and I think one discussion that we had as we were picking this was the difference between AMA and Viking and just looking... And I think that's one tough thing about River Cruise, that most of the products are very similar. And so then it comes down to price point, itinerary, you know, those basic things, because you really, you know, but at the same time, each one has a personality, each line does. And in some cases, each ship, but usually it's the whole line. Viking ships, pretty much, I'd be really impressed if you could walk on three different Viking ships and tell me which one was which.
Well, they say that when they've had issues with like water level, they'll meet at some point and they'll switch all your luggage to a stateroom on another ship and you don't even know. You come back and then you just keep going on your way. Like,
this is actually one of my fears because the ships tie up together.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my fears was, what if you were on a Viking ship and there were three of them tied up together and then you got on the wrong ship and you didn't even know it, you know?
That is hilarious. I actually don't think they will tether to each other. Like, I don't think there are too many situations where two are
the same line. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. They'll go to different.
Like, oh my God. What would happen? You were like, you're sailing in the wrong direction.
Well, I'm sure they have the name on the outside, right?
But they're tethered together.
They're tethered together. So if the lobbies look the same,
and
you just kind of stroll in, have a drink and things starts going and you realize I'm going the wrong way. I'm like,
You do show your key card to get on, because usually what they'll do is they'll have staff posted. So as you're walking through these doors, which is basically the center of the ship, you can just literally think of it as walking through the center of all these ships. So you're at the sort of host desk anyway, and they'll have staff members keeping you from going back to the rooms or going to mm-hmm. the common area without showing your card. That's yeah.
Right, but
yeah.
You're on another cruise line.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't just wander around and see what it looks like yeah. either, right?
I did try, and I'm like,
oh, stigmata.
Yeah. And there's actually, when we were in Amsterdam, there was some sort of travel conference going on, and they were doing ship inspections of our ship and other ships. And I remember sitting in the common area with a glass of wine watching these travel agents go by. Yeah.
Like, you know how it feels to have to get off the ship and work in
my ship.
How dressy did you think it was at night? Did you change your clothes after excursions, or you didn't sometimes?
So I did, partially because, I mean, it was cold when we went, and so you're wearing all these layers. So by the time you get down to the bottom layers, you're like, oh, yeah, I should probably change this. Yeah. So, and I tended to take my showers after we went walking. So instead of in the morning when I normally, like, my morning routine would be, I would take them after we get back. So then I would change. But I didn't really dress up. I like dressing up. So I'm always such a bad person to ask, because I will lean toward dressing up if given the opportunity to do so. But I never wore anything that I would even consider coming close to a cocktail dress. Like, it was business casual probably the whole time. Nicer dresses. Things I would wear to the theater. As dressy as I got.
But other people would just wear whatever they wanted too. Right?
I think so. I mean, I don't even remember, because it was cold. I'm like, did anybody wear shorts into the dining room?
Oh my goodness, in November?
Yeah, there might have been some weirdo who did, but I really don't remember. And most of the people on board are over 50, and so they tend to adhere to older school dress code.
I know one of the giveaways that I've seen at AMA trainings and stuff is Pashmina.
Yes.
Really pretty, too. It's like purple. And didn't you win one, Laura? The AMA Pashmina?
Yeah, it's turquoise.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, like,
turquoise. They give them to all the women on the ship.
Oh, wow.
It's a farewell gift. But we didn't tell you that because it's supposed to be a surprise. So,
I already edited that out.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
But it is. They are very pretty, and they're all sparkly. And yeah, so, but yeah, it's, I guess, also that's Christine's touch, too. I think Christine really likes that. That's because it's privately owned and owned by a very caring group of owners. They really, it's a couple and one of their best friends, and they like adding personal touches to things, and they sail a lot. I mean, it's entirely possible one of them will be on the ship with you. So yeah, it's entirely possible. We didn't have one on the ship with us, but
I'm really excited because I think in the group so far is there's experienced travels and there's people that haven't even been to Europe. So it's going to be an interesting, cool mixture of people.
That's a good way to go your first time.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah. Especially going with people who are very experienced too, they can kind of guide you around.
I think it's a cool way to if you're interested in Christmas or interested in these type of markets and you haven't been, this would be a really cool way to experience.
Yeah,
because it takes all the stress of the trains and everything out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that trains are stressful, but this is nothing. I mean, this is like they're going to take you there. You just got to be able to ambulate off.
So for anybody listening who might be wanting to go, when should they be booking? Now?
Mm-hmm.
Now?
I would say now. I'm just shocked at how fast these cabins were selling. Because I asked Elizabeth just a couple weeks ago, can you let me know what there is still available? And there are still cabins available, but I don't know how it compares to other cruises, ocean cruises, but... My goodness.
Well, they're much smaller ships.
Yeah, right, there's fewer cabins. So there's fewer cabins. So there's definitely space still available, and at least there was still on this one.
Yeah.
So let's say go ahead and book in. We do have a webpage we can direct people to, put it in the show notes if people are interested.
I think the key thing about booking early with this is there probably will be cabins left even like 2 months before sailing, but they'll be the most expensive ones, or they'll be the ones that have the little duck windows, that you don't want. So that's the main thing. There's only so many. We actually bought 3 of the 4 cabins that are like of the higher end, but at the back so that they're lower cost.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. So, but we bought 3 out of the 4 of those, and we probably would have gotten all 4 if somebody else
got it.
Yeah, snatched one up.
So is this one of the ships that allows you to sail without a single supplement? Can you sail as one person?
That is a complicated question. I will say yes, but it does vary. So if enough single people have booked since I last checked, then
no more.
It would, yeah, exactly. It is capacity controlled. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So as of 2 weeks ago, yes. But today, I don't know. I haven't checked today. No. So, and by the time this airs, it may be different too.
So book now.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing to know about groups like this is when we book groups on other cruise lines, and it depends on the type of group, we're usually holding certain types of cabins, maybe not the exact cabin, but we'll know that we have 8 balconies. And, you know, in this case, we just have space on the ship, but we don't really have anything held, no specific categories. So I can't promise you that we have 1 balcony left, because if somebody else wants to buy that, then all I can sell is what is, is what there is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was really happy to just go ahead and nail it down early on and get what I wanted. And knowing too that we're using air miles to fly. So as soon as we had that nailed down, we just waited for those to open up and got those quickly, because we want to get those early using miles.
Yeah. So I'm surprised, because other people have already started asking me about air, and it's still, you know, 11 months away. But they're wanting to go ahead 10 now.
10.
So yeah. But they started asking me at 11. So I'm just way behind. That's all.
These people seem very excited.
Yeah.
The ones that are in the group seem to be super, super
excited. And you don't need to know anybody in this group too, because the thing is, even, you know, Heidi's talking about not having to socialize with people she doesn't know. She's not gonna talk to you if you don't talk to her.
She doesn't feel like it.
She doesn't feel like it. But there's no pressure to hang out with the group. We're not doing any group activities or anything like that. So it really is just a way to enjoy a particular cruise at a special price. We do have a special group price will, you know, give you some advantages there. So, and there may be other perks depending on how many people book into the group.
Yay! I'm so excited.
It sounds awesome.
I don't think I've ever been this excited so far out.
That's
it's cool, like a year
building
out.
The anticipation.
Yes,
I know it is still like.
I'm trying to get my husband to sign off on going, but
I don't know. That would be so fun.
No.
Yeah. You would love it. And that was something else I wanted to say. We were talking about if you love Christmas, then you'll love this. But the fact is, when I went on my wine cruise, I was going on it for wine. Mm-hmm. And they kept talking about the Christmas markets. And I started seeing these booths going up. And I'm like, man, maybe I really would like to see this. And I got to, we did walk through the market. We didn't stop because we were going to go back and eat and come back. But I actually did get to sort of experience the sights and the smells. And I'm like, I really like this. And I think that description of an outdoor pub is actually kind of true, because it is... It's Christmas. There's no doubt that it's Christmas, but it's not like the elves aren't singing.
Right,
you're
not shopping mall Christmas.
Right.
You feel like you're being thrust into something artificial. Somehow this just feels good. It's kind of like, you know, if you watch old movies about Christmas from the 40s or the 50s, it just feels, I don't know. It's, it's not.
Or even like that family Christmas where everybody gets along that never actually happens, but you picture in your mind. It sort of feels like that.
Exactly. So you're like, guaranteeing that if you all go,
no.
The group, everyone's going to get us now.
We're going to sing Yahoo Dory together.
Yeah, exactly.
That didn't sound like fun to me.
No. Well, if you go, Lindsay, I'm sure you would bring out the.
Yeah, you'll
the
hang out with the other.
It's not. I have a feeling that it's going to be the type of thing where once you get on the ship and you start meeting people, you start finding.
And I did. I mean, I'm still Facebook friends with people that I met in on the cruise who live in San Diego. And I never would have talked to them, but beer brought us together. They were drinking craft beer that they had bought somewhere. And I was like, is that a beer? And sure enough, soon I had one. And it was lovely. So, and they're lovely people. And they, you know, when I went to San Diego, they gave me suggestions. And so, yeah, good people. And I see them on Facebook all the time doing wonderful things. So.
Awesome.
Does anyone else have any questions about the group river cruise? It's on the Ama Christina, if you want to look up the ship. It is the newest ship. I think it won't be the newest ship by the time you sail, because they're launching ships like
crazy.
But still, it is brand new. So definitely a great ship. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or you can just search for Fly Away in the search box. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Laura, Donna, Sandy, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, we'd like to thank Heidi for joining us this week.
Yay.
Thank you, Heidi.
You're welcome.
Hey.
And we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.